to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him. Amen. We are very familiar with Matthew chapter number 16, when Jesus comes into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He has just traveled 35 miles because he is going to give them a revelation like they have never had before. So the question is asked, who do people say that I am? All right, the Bible said, we just read, he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God has life. The life of the Son is inside of us. Jesus did not just come to give us mere life in general, but the Bible says that he has given us abundant life. Everybody say abundant life. So we want to understand tonight is that when we talk about the life of God, we're talking about a living dynamo of power because it is eternal life. He that hath the Son. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to live forever in the presence of God. He that hath the Son hath life. Life. The life of God is on the inside of us. Now, if we were to go back and we were to look at John's discourse, he's talking about sinning, and he's talking about living right. He's talking about Gnosticism and Docetism and those things, you know, which probably that's over most of our head, and we're not even going to go there tonight. But what he's getting at is this, is that you didn't get saved to live in sin. You got saved to be delivered from sin. You have been delivered from sin. To be delivered from sin is to be delivered from death. He talks about the soul that sinneth, or the soul that practices sin, dies, or doesn't know the Son. Because if the Son is in you, he makes you free. If the Son is in you, he's teaching you righteousness. Amen? If the Son is in you, his life is being produced on the inside of you. You need to get this because this is very important. Doesn't matter what your education status is. Doesn't matter where you came from, who you are, what race you are, or anything else. When you receive the Son, all of us receive the same thing. There's no little son, no big son. He's the same. Everybody got the same measure. Somebody say amen. It's how you let him reign and rule in your life that makes the difference of what God does with you. How submitted that you become, how surrendered that you become to Jesus. Amen? Amen. So when he comes into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, the Bible said that he really takes them down to, you know, where they actually threw dead corpses and all these things, and took them into that place where they believe that the god Pan resides at, where there's the mouth of hell that spirits come out and so forth. And so it was considered the gates of hell, where evil is released and all these things. And so he takes them there and he asks them the question. He said, who do men say that I am? So the question is tonight, who do you say that he is? He's not Jesus Jr. He's Jesus God. Somebody say he is the Almighty. Uh-huh. And see, he is asking them the question. Now get this, because this is really important where our faith is concerned and where confession is concerned, because he says to them, who do you say that I am? Well, some say that you're, you know, Elias, some say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? Peter gets up. We know this. You are the Christ. You are the anointed one. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus speaks to him and says this, and I love this. I wish I'd have been the one that said it. But if we're born again, we should say it. Amen. He said, Peter, he says, you are Peter. You're just a little fragment of a rock, but upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell, where everybody thinks that hell resides at and these demons are coming out, where the god Pan is, where all these things are, he said, I want you to understand, the gates of hell, everybody say the gates of hell. I mean, there are many, many gates of hell. We don't have the time to go into all of that tonight either. But the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Now, the gates of hell prevail against some believers. Mm-hmm. Y'all getting real quiet on me. The gates of hell prevail against some believers. And it's because of what they believe. It's because of the way that they hear and what they say. How they live. Now listen to me. So Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It comes out of the inner gushings of his spirit. Just a few scriptures later. You remember Jesus is talking about going to the cross and so forth. And what happens? Peter gets up and said, Lord, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to be. And what does Jesus do? Get behind me, Satan. See how quick things can shift? Y'all looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. See how quick things can shift? Because one moment Peter is in the spirit and the next minute he's in the flesh. Why did that happen? Because Peter did not yet fully understand who he was. A lot of Christians are in that same boat. He's sweet Jesus. He's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No, he's Lord. He's God. He's creator of all things. Amen? He is Jesus, Jesus. But I want to know him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, because that puts everything in a totally, absolute different light when it comes to my confession, because that's what that scripture is all about. Peter is confessing him as the Son of God. Somebody say he's the Son. He's the Son. He's the Son. He's the Son. He's in my heart. He's in my life. He's in my business. He's in every part of my being. His life is on the inside of me. Somebody say his seed is in me. Producing. Somebody say producing. 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 The scripture that we read out of 1 John. This is important because I want to go back there. I want you to go back to 1 John chapter number 4. We're going to read verse number 13. And the Bible says this, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now this word, the name, is the word onoma in the Greek. And I want to kind of read to you actually what the dictionary has to say about this, because when it talks about the name, that you may believe on the name. Everybody say the name. The name Jesus, the name the Christ, Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. Christ is his title. Somebody say the anointed one with his anointing. All right. So that you may believe on the name, the onoma of the Son of God, okay? So it is talking about the name, but it is talking about the character. It is talking about that this name is used for everything which the name covers. Now let this sink down in you. Everything the thought or the feeling of which is aroused in the mind by mentioning the name. You'll get this in a minute. Hearing, remembering, the name. Everybody say the name. The name. One's rank, one's authority, one's interest, pleasures, commands. Talking about his deeds. Okay, so let's think about this. Okay, now listen to me. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Because we're talking about confession tonight. We're going somewhere with our confession and our faith in Jesus Christ. So number one, when he says this word, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, he says that when you hear that name, that it may arouse within you or in your mind, or when you hear that name mentioned or you hear it, that you remember something. All right, what am I going to remember? I'm going to remember the record of God from Genesis to Revelation. Anything that my God has done from Genesis to Revelation is in the name. Somebody say Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. That's why it's important not to use that name frivolously or jokingly or just like Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know, you scared the bejesus out of me. No, 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 no. But Jesus don't scare nobody. Jesus is authority. Jesus is power. And see, this is what we want to get at. When I hear the name of Jesus or one of the derivatives of the name of God through the old covenant, I understand that everything, we taught this a couple of weeks ago, that's in the name of Jesus is every name in the old covenant that's ever been given to describe our God. It is his character, it is his nature, and it is his purpose. All of his commands, all of his deeds, all that he's ever done is balled up in that one name, the name of Jesus. The thing that we need to get tonight is that when we were given that name to use in prayer or confession or commands, is that it's important for us to not just allow people around us to use the name stupidly. Because when I use that name, remember what we taught on about several weeks back right now, be careful how you hear, but be careful what you say, because every idle word, a word that doesn't have an assignment, you will give an account for. Because if you're going to use the name of Jesus, see, when we're talking about thou shalt not blaspheme the name of the Lord your God, all right? He's talking about using his name in an unworthy manner. We think it's GD and all this other stuff, and yes, it is. It's using it in an unsanctified way, but he says this right here. He said, look, do not use my name loosely. Because if you want a confession to come to pass, or if you're going to prophesy or pray for someone, or you're going to come against demonic power or sickness or disease or dysfunction, or you're going to pray for a city or a locality or a region, you first have got to begin to understand the character, the nature, and the purpose of God. Now let's go back to 1 John chapter number 5. If I ask anything according to his will, let me stop right there. If I ask anything according to his character, his nature, his purpose, his desire, his wants, his love, his passion. See, when I ask it in that name, see that name, if I understand everything that's wrapped, if I ask it according to his will, that means first of all, like Peter down in that Caesarea Philippi, when he was there and had that revelation that came out of him hanging around Jesus and developing a knowing of him, an intimate relationship that he was still growing immensely in. Amen. Because, man, he grew from that point in Acts chapter number 2 and Acts chapter number 3 and throughout his writings, he grew powerfully. Somebody say amen. The people that he feared began to fear him. And so I have to learn that, first of all, what I have to do is I got to know him. I got to build my relationship. I got to have an intimate relationship with my God, because I got to know his character, nature, and purpose. If I don't, I can't relate to people, and I can't relate to things, and I can't relate to nations, and I can't relate to nothing. Because, first of all, I've got to know the Word. The Word is his revelation to us. And so when I read from Genesis to Revelation, I pick up on the character, the nature, and the purpose of God.
I found out how much passion he has and how compassionate he can be. And I find out where his limits are. Oh, my God. I found out what gets him upset and what makes him happy. I found out what turns him on and what turns him off. I found out what attracts him and what repels him. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I find out where the fire comes from and the power gets released. Somebody say, glory to God. Man, this is good stuff right here. See, anoma, in the name. Somebody say the name. See, when I hear the name, that's why when we see a bunch of drag queens that are at the Olympics and they're stationed and mocking the Lord's Supper, that something ought to go off on the inside of us that's called Holy Ghost fire that says, I'm not putting up with that stuff. I'm going to pray against it because I know, number one, God is not mocked. Somebody say, he's not mocked. God's a big God. He can take care of his business. He's just looking for somebody to pray the prayer that has his heart that doesn't overstep the boundary. Oh, come on. We got to go here. All right. Let's go. Let me see. Let's go to the book of James. Chapter number 5. No, wait a minute. That's not right. Where'd my paper go? Thank you, ma'am. Okay, I'll do that. All right. Let's go to 1 John again, chapter number 5. All right, I'm going to show you something right here. Somebody say, I'm going to see something. All right. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Lord Jesus. You see, the Bible says in James, chapter number 4, verses 1 through 4, he talks to us and he says, you have not because you ask not. And then you don't get it because you ask amiss. This is the confidence that I have in him, knowing that if I ask anything according to his, say it loud, his will. I have not because I ask not. And then I have not because I ask amiss. I'm not asking according to the will of God. What do you mean? See, if my prayers are going to become potent, if I'm going to be able to speak and see mountains moved and things shifted, because this is what we're after. Somebody say amen. If I'm going to do that, then I want to be absorbed into his presence. I want that life of God intertwined in my innermost being. The only thing that should be able to separate that is the word of God, and it is. Come on. The word of God is quick and powerful, alive and active and energizing, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Come on now. I want to make sure, see, if I'm in relationship with him, I want to be like Elijah that understands the people of God are in bondage. They're worshiping devils. They've sacrificed their sons and daughters to demons. They've aborted them. They're up there. They denied their God and they're serving Baal. Come on. They're lewd and they're ungodly and they're lawless. I want to be like Elijah and do what? I want to have such a relationship with my God that I can go out and talk to the sky and tell it to not rain anymore. How can I get my sky shut up so that it doesn't rain? What's the purpose behind it? What is the desire behind it? Because I want them all to go to hell. Oh, you ain't going to get it. No. Somebody said it ain't going to happen. You got to have enough love and passion coming out of you that you understand that God's heartbeat is for every one of them to get saved and for every devil to be destroyed. What's God after? He's after the nation to be turned back to him. So he gives Elijah a word. It's more than him just God speaking to him, because listen, does God speak to us? Yes, he does. Does he tell us things? Yes, he does. Does he tell us things to do, and do we go do them? Probably not. And sometimes we do them and we don't get anything out of it. And then we think, well, I didn't hear God. I think probably that's because of this thing. So we don't ask God enough questions. We need to go back and say, Father, I know you told me that. I know you're dealing with me to do this. How come it didn't happen? Oh, my God. So we need to be inquisitive enough that I understand, number one, that those disciples that hang out with Jesus, they ask him questions. When they got alone with him, they asked him questions. He asked them questions. They conversed back and forth. Why? Because he was wanting to get his character and nature inside of them. If any man be in the Christ, he is a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things are passed away. All your old habits, your old thinking, your old ways, all that kind of junk. And it doesn't just pass away overnight. Sometimes we have to cast it out, fast it out, and get rid of it. Somebody say amen. We have to continually die to ourselves. Because the Bible tells us in Matthew and Luke and in Mark, he tells us what? He says, you take up your cross and you follow after me daily. And you crucify that flesh and you put it to death so that I can come alive on the inside of you. Because if you will lose your life, you can find your life. You got to lose your life to get the abundant life. Are y'all tracking with me? Now listen to this. So Elijah, he prophesies, the heavens shut up. How long? 3.5 years. Remember, he's at the brook of Cherith, and what happens? It's such a drought in the land. Carcasses are dying. The waters are drying up. And God speaks to him and says, okay, it's time to go show yourself to Ahab. Right? And he goes. We know the story. How that it goes up on Mount Carmel. He goes up there and makes the sacrifice. The fire of God falls. And see what happens. See, that fire falls and the people begin to cry out what? The Lord is God. The Lord, he is God. Doesn't America need a manifestation of a miracle like that to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, children to the fathers? Doesn't the America need a move of the Spirit in that kind of a measure in cities like Chicago, Michigan, California, Virginia, North Carolina? Come on, Georgia, Pennsylvania. Wouldn't it be nice for the fire of God to fall? Listen, our world has us so caught up in its hatred and bitterness and screaming and yelling at the wrong stuff that we forget about. My words have got to be directed pinpointedly that my heart is totally after the heart of God. And if my heart is after the heart of God, then I can prophesy and say, let there be no rain until my word is spoken again. Huh? Well, only God can do that. Well, you better go tell Elijah. When the fire fell, what did he do? He said, it's time to rain again. He knew that, but he had to pray for it to happen. He had to be such a man that he had to divide himself from pure hatred. Being attacked by Jezebel, being attacked by Ahab, having to live the lifestyle that he lived. I mean, we think it's all glory and hallelujah, but it wasn't for him. How would you like to have to live down by the river and have birds come and feed you every day? Old buzzard come by, bringing you a steak.
I thought I'd drop this off to you.
It's not so glittery when you get that way, is it? Mm-mm. It's a whole lot more to saying what God said than we think it is. See, and this is what God wants us to get when it comes to confession. When Elijah confessed it, it happened. When he decreed it, let me say it that way, Job 22. He decreed a thing and it came to pass. Then he went up on the mountain and he was supposed to reign again. What did he do? He went out and did what he's supposed to do as a man of God. He went out, got up on that mountaintop that jutted out over the Mediterranean Sea. He got up there and he began to pray. He took the position of a Hebrew woman giving birth. And he prayed. Somebody say he prayed. He didn't pray just once. He didn't pray twice. He didn't pray three times. He prayed seven times. And when he sent his servant out, his servant came back. He kept asking. He said, what do you see? Nothing, 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 nothing. And but then the final time he said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And what did he say? Listen, listen. Number one, let's back up a little bit. I got to know his name. For his name's sake. See, I've got to have more at stake concerning his name than me. I'm supposed to be dead. Amen? I'm his. I belong to him. I belong to him. And so here, Elijah understands, I'm representing him. I am his prophet. Did that mean God just dropped it on him? No. He prayed. Went out and prayed. Somebody say, how long? I have no idea. I wasn't there. I just know he prayed seven times. And the Bible said that cloud came and he said, gird up your loins to his servant, for I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. What was that? What did he just say? He made a faith statement. Out of what? He was representing the name of his God and he was aroused on the inside and he said, I know what's at stake right here. I know that my God didn't just let fire fall up here, that those 450 prophets of Baal to be slain and the other 400 to be wiped out and for the people to scream out, he is God. God didn't start this and he's just to let it go. He's going to finish this. Somebody say amen. And it was by no means over. When he prayed, he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. He said, gird up your loins and run. And the Bible said that Elijah gird up his loins and outran the chariot back. Amen. That was a faith statement. It was a faith statement. It was born out of character, nature, and purpose of God. Amen. Amen. See, I believe one of the things that we miss is God's heartthrob. And listen, listen, I think when it comes to declarations and decrees that we make, and God knows there are many of them and they're wonderful and thank God for them, but unless our heart is tied to it, it ain't gonna work. You know why? Because you're just speaking words. When you pray over these Bibles that you got laying out, you got to stand over them with a heavy decree. I know that it is my God's will, and in the name of Jesus, hell will move. Heaven will be open. This thing shall be in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. So you got to have an attitude. This is the confidence. This is the confidence. This is, I'm going to say, this is the confidence. Okay. So when he's talking about this is the confidence. It's the word parousia in the Greek. And he's talking about an assurance, but it's more than that. It is a confidence that produces boldness. Matter of fact, I think some translation says this is the boldness that we have in him. The boldness. Somebody say the boldness. That means that you have the freedom to speak unreservedly the truth of God. You speak to impossible odds and you tell it. Say, I don't care what you look like, what you say, and I don't care who put you there or what you are. You will move in the name of Jesus. In the name. See, first of all, I've got to get myself aroused in the spirit. Then when I hear the name of my God, I got to think about creationism. I got to think about the sun and the moon standing still. I got to think about the Red Sea parting. I got to think about God's armies, the innumerable host of heaven. I have to think about him raining hailstones down upon his enemies. I got to think about the fire of God. I have to think about all that he did throughout the old covenant. And especially what he did in the new covenant. Because what happened in the new, in the old covenant pales in comparison to what Jesus did on that cross and being resurrected from the dead on the third day and seated at the right hand of the Father. Now listen, this is the parousia. This is the I like this because one of the words is blunt. God's just blunt. Devil, you are going to go. You're fired. And he got kicked out of heaven, didn't he? Come on. This is what he's talking about. Confidence. Confidence. Some people like weenies. They don't have any confidence. And I'm not talking about some religious front either because I know what a religious spirit is. I'm talking about people that know their God and are strong and do exploits. Listen. Boldness. Boldness to speak in an unreserved way. But bold speech, oh, well, listen, I love this. It says, without ambiguity or without the use of figures or comparisons, because you can't compare God to anything. Somebody said, I had never seen it like that before. I said, well, get ready because God's getting ready to do one of those right now. You're going to say, I have never seen it like that before. Uh-huh. Is this good? Yeah. I've never seen nothing. God says that's exactly right because it's never been done. I'm in the business of doing something new, a new thing. Somebody say a new thing. You can't compare it to anything in the past. You need a miracle. America needs a miracle. We need Oral Roberts. No, you don't need Oral Roberts. Oh, we need Kenneth Hagin. No, we don't need Kenneth Hagin. We don't need any of those people that used to live. We need God to raise up somebody right now in this hour that has to fire an intimate relationship with him that out of his character, nature, and purpose that is stirred and moved only by the Spirit and the Word of God that has an ear and a heart for him and loves people like he does. And God will move heaven and earth to get done what he wants to do. Listen, free and fearless confidence, boldness, cheerful courage. Somebody look at somebody and say, take heart. Take heart. Now, some of the root words for this parousia is this. One of them is reo. It means it gives the idea of pouring forth. See, what does the Bible say? Out of your spirit shall flow rivers of what? He that hath the Son has. All right? You pass from death to. You have the abundant. The life of God is in you. Right? Everything that you operate by is by resurrection power. By resurrection anointing. Come on, somebody. Listen, through the idea of pouring forth to utter, to speak, that is to say, to speak, to command, to make, to say. It also comes from the root word lego. And you've heard my teaching on that. It means to lay forth. That is to say, figuratively, to relate in words. Amen. That means you're not going to mince about it because it's a systematic discourse. What does that mean? I'm not arguing with the devil. I'm not arguing with flesh and blood. I'm going to get him and say, this is it right here. This is the way that it's going to be. When I get done, you're not going to have to say, what did he say? You ever talk to some people and you don't know what they said? When God says something, you know what he says. And God says, when you speak with me or say it with me, when you do that, he said, everybody's going to know what you said unless they just stopped up their ears and resisted. All right? Now, a couple of examples of this. Confidence is Acts 4:13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Where'd you get that at? Where'd you get that? Where'd I get what? Where'd you get that power? Where'd you get that boldness? Where'd you get that character? Where did you get that at? Where did you? Somebody say, you got to hang out with Jesus. You got to hang out with Jesus. Acts 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Now they're praying. Remember, they've been beaten and threatened and all this stuff. Behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth your hand. Now listen, they didn't just ask for that word. They said, by stretching forth your hand to heal. What did God say in Luke's gospel and Mark? What did he say? Confirming the word with signs following. Elijah prophesied, signs following. The fire fell. The rain came. It's the same thing throughout Scripture. Amen? Listen to this. By stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Somebody say, by the name. By the name. See, this is why right now in America especially, we need to use that name as abundantly as we possibly can. Don't pray some generic thing and put God on the end of it. God, in your name we pray. That could be Buddha. Come on, Krishna. It could be anything, some new age god or idol. Make it plain. Say, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God's name. The one who rose from the dead on the third day, ascended into heaven, is the right hand of God, who is coming with 10,000 of his saints to wrap this thing up. The one to whom every king and every ruler and every leader is going to have to answer to and stand before. I am his servant. Listen. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. There's that word again. It's several times mentioned right there. Wow. Somebody say, wow. Wow, wow. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Okay. If I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. See, prayer is simply confessing what you know. That's all it is. You can't just go up and pray just something and generically. You got to pray what the word says. And confidence. That doesn't mean you got to quote the scripture, but that means that you know the character, the nature, and the purpose behind this word. That when you pray, that you pray with such fervor and boldness and confidence. Somebody say confidence. See, if you're confident, you will have boldness. Amen. Somebody say, I'm going to have boldness, and I'm going to have that confidence in Jesus' name. Oh, my God. Let me see here. Let me get this right here. Here we are. Let's read this. The importance of mastering speech. Everybody say, the importance of mastering speech. Not just in the house of God, but in the house, your home. You don't do it one way in the house of God or in the presence of Christians and then go home and put your comfy clothes on and live opposite from what you said. David said, I will walk upright in my home. I will put no unclean thing before my eyes. In other words, the best place for you to practice is in your home. How come it's so quiet? The best place for you to practice is in your home. It's not to drink or not to drink. It's not to look or not to look. It's not to go or not to go. It's to obey. Trust and obey.
For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So I've got to know his character. How do I know somebody's character? I got the record of God right here. How do I know somebody's character? I've been doing this thing since 1976, living for Jesus. No, excuse me, 1974, living for Jesus. That's a while. Amen. See, what I'm getting at is that we should know as we walk with him his character and nature and purpose. I would hope that people who knew me in the 70s would meet me now and find the same person, except that they would find somebody that's more solid and closer to God. You understand? And so that comes by relationship. I want to know him. Is that what Paul said? Oh, that I might know him. Oh, that I might know him. He didn't just say in the power of his resurrection. What else did he say? In the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul said, you really want to know somebody? He said, you know them in the low time, when all hell is coming against their life, when all fury is broken out. Mm-hmm. When the devil is trying to get you to quit. Come on, somebody. Like Job. You remember the story about Job? The devil comes to God and he tells him, he said, look, he said, if you'll take all that stuff from him you've been blessing him with, he'll curse you to your face and deny you. He'll recant of his faith. He will. Oh, let me do it. Let me do it. Let me do it. Let me do it. And God let him do it, didn't he? But he maintained his character. In the most intense times, see, it's not in our high moments that we grow. It's in the midst of the fire and the walking through the tribulations of life that produce character. Comes no other way. Because that's where the devil finds out who you are. I'm going to say it one more time. The devil finds out who you are when you walk through the fire, and he's on your shoulder with both feet, and he's pounding you with everything you've got, and it's coming from every direction. Your best friends have turned their back on you. You got people that are cursing you, people that are trying to destroy you. They're trying to assassinate your character and everything else, and you're standing for Jesus. That's when you find out what you're made of. It's when your body is sick and you're riddled with disease, and you know, it's what's coming out of your mouth in that moment that determines who you are. Amen. It's when you walk through the cancer. It's when you walk through the surgeries, and when you walk through those times of hardships and trials. And somebody said, well, I'm not going to get sick. I pray we never do. I didn't plan on having bypass surgery either, but it did. And I'll give you another one up on it. God told me to buy an aspirin, which saved my life. How come he didn't heal me? Ask him. It's a lot of stuff we don't understand about God. But yet we're dumb enough to point fingers at people. Well, if they'd have had a faith, man, it wouldn't happen. No. You don't know the scripture. Somebody said, does God make us sick? No. Why does stuff like that happen? It's always a mystery to me. I wished I knew some of that stuff. But this is the confidence that I have in him. If I
ask according to his will, he hears me. The all-wise, all-knowing God will bring us into the best he has. In Jesus' name. I got to stop right there. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know you, Lord, in the fellowship of your sufferings, being made conformable unto your death. I want to know you in resurrection power. I want to know the character, nature, and purpose of you, Lord God. Oh, Father, grant me to understand the mysteries of the Scripture. Open my understanding. Grant me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Oh, my God, help me, Jesus, to have a heart like yours. Let it burn with your passion. Let it burn with your love. Let it burn with your goodness. Let it burn with your mercy. Jesus, have your way with me. Oh, God, use me, Lord. Use me. Teach me. Have your way with me. In your mighty name, Jesus, I ask this, God. Help me to surrender everything and not be reluctant. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're here tonight and you